Does God take sin seriously? You think? Well, let me ask you this. How many days and nights did it rain during the time of Noah to wipe away all the evil? 40. So I'd say he takes it pretty seriously. So that flood was to wipe away all the evil and sin. Now, it didn't because it came back. How many years did the Israelites wander in the desert because of their sinfulness? 40. 40 years of wandering in the desert because of the evil that they were doing. So God was trying to purify them. Well, did that do the trick? Did that take care of everything? No. How many days has it been snowing in Geneva? Oh, you laugh. Just wait till it starts melting. We'll all be swept into the lake. Maybe not cleansed of our sins, but we'll get a cleansing otherwise. Well, God is serious about sin. Very, very serious. And he is serious about it not just because it offends him, because it goes against his law, but because it harms us. Sin is harmful to everyone. Now, unfortunately, even today, we tend to minimize our sinfulness. I do a little bit of gossiping. I use a swear word now and then. I tell a little white lie as if those things don't matter. And yet any kind of sin is a spiritual pollution. It's like throwing into the environment this spiritual pollution that affects everyone. It affects everyone. Not just me, not just my relationship with God, but everyone. So that when I sin, I am literally harming everybody in the world. Everybody. And that's not what God wants, obviously. I'm not loving my neighbor as myself when I sin. What God wants us to do is to take the good that God gives us, the gifts, the mercy, the love, and send that into the spiritual atmosphere so that people can be freed up from whatever sickness, illness, disease of the heart and soul they have. So we're called to be healers, people who are, as St. Paul says, ministers of reconciliation in the world. But we've got to reconcile ourselves to God and to one another. We have to take advantages of the gifts God gives us to say, Lord, I am sorry, to wipe away that sin so that we can be charged up with the goodness and holiness of God and show the holiness of God in the world. Now, St. John the Baptist comes along, and he has a ministry to people. And what is his ministry? Well, he says, repent. Repent. And he challenged people to come for a baptism of repentance, to receive baptism, to turn their lives around so that they would, instead of sinning, follow the Lord. Well, that wasn't enough. So Jesus comes along, who is the perfect reconciler of God. And as we hear in today's gospel, what is he telling us? Have a nice life? Have a nice career? No. He, like John the Baptist, is saying, repent. Repent. Have sorrow for your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Reconcile with God and your neighbor. Because sin is not what God wants for us. And he gives us laws and rules and regulations not to hem us in or enslave us, but rather to free us from ourselves. Because left to our own inventions, we're all going to be creating our own little dream, our own little world, our own little environment, our own little bit of happiness. And God says, no, no, I'm your happiness ultimately. So follow me and you'll find the truth. You'll find what you truly want. But in order for that to happen, we have to keep on looking at what we do and what we fail to do to repent of our sins and turn back to the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, God does send another flood to cleanse people of their sins, but it's a good flood. It's a good flood. We've all experienced that. It's called baptism. That's what St. Peter says in our second reading tonight. like Noah and the flood, which was an attempt to cleanse the world of evil, God gives us this wonderful sacrament of the waters of which we enter into, and through those saving waters in which the Holy Spirit has made them holy, we are cleansed of our sins and become children of God. And then to continue that pattern, God doesn't stop, but he gives us the Eucharist. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, our what we would call venial sins are forgiven, and the wonderful sacrament of penance. So no matter what we have committed, no matter what evil we have done, God is willing, ready, waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want your forgiveness. And God readily gives it to us. Of course, it means that every time we sin and repent, we have to keep saying, okay, I'm going to work harder at this. I want to get stronger. I want to be strong against temptation. I want to be like Jesus in the desert. So how many days was Jesus in the desert? 40. There's that number again. But did he give in to Satan? No. And he shows us the way, one of the ways, many of the ways, how to strengthen ourselves so that when the devil comes along and says, hey, you don't need to do that, or, you know, that's a wonderful thing, why do you keep doing it, so forth and so on, we can say, get behind me, Satan. So what does Jesus do in the desert? It says he prayed. Well, we should be doing that all the time. That relationship with God, we have to keep it healthy. We have to listen to the Lord, read the scriptures, celebrate the sacraments, so that we know how God is calling us to follow him, and when necessary, to repent, to turn away from sin. What else did Jesus do? He fasted. He fasted for 40 days. And yet, despite the weakness that comes along with fasting, he still did not give in to Satan. So there's a model of someone who is building himself up to be strong. Now, of course, he was God, but he still shows us in his human form that he was going to do what is necessary to be faithful to the Father. So we have prayer, we have fasting. The third discipline or activity that we can engage in during Lent, which helps strengthen us, is that of almsgiving. Giving to the poor, giving money, giving our services, giving food, whatever it might be. And that's a way, literally, to try and repair some of the damage we have done through our sinfulness. We've always got to be aware of that. When we sin, we do damage in the world. We harm other people. Now, ideally, if I can, I'm called to go to that individual or whatever whom I've harmed and make it up. Restore the relationship. Provide restitution. But if I can't, then the Lord says, well, then give to the poor. By doing that, we are saying to the Lord, I want to do something to repair the damage. And what better way than serving those who are in need? So we have prayer, we have fasting, we have almsgiving. Now, we don't have to wait until Lent to do them, obviously. But the church, in its wisdom, came up with this 40-day period, which we call Lent, as a way of really doing some good spiritual house cleaning, to look at where we are in our walk with the Lord, to take advantage of the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance, to clean up our hearts and our souls so that we can better let the light of Christ shine through our lives. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the good children of God who are not leading people into the way of evil, into the way of sin, but rather leading people to Christ. And so if we sin, if we're turned away from the Lord, we're not going to be able to lead other people to Christ. And that's our duty. That's our obligation. That's what you and I are called to do, to constantly call other people's attention to the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the willingness of God to forgive us no matter how many times we sin. So we've got 40 days of time in order to do that spiritual house cleaning. Of course, we're preparing through these 40 days of preparation to celebrate 50 days of Easter. That's our big holy feast time, the season of Easter, 50 days when we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which really empowers us to say to Satan, no, no, I'm not going to turn to evil. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord and follow in his footsteps. So we've got a good, not quite 40 days so far, but enough time that we can each and every day ask ourselves, what have I done to turn back to the Lord? Am I truly sorry for what I have done that is evil? Do I really hold myself accountable for my sins? Do I really understand the power of evil when I sin that really corrupts the world, corrupts other people, harms other people? What am I doing to say, Lord, I'm sorry? And what am I doing to show God that I truly want to do some repair, some renovation, some reconciliation to make up for the evil that I have done? So Lent helps us focus on the many, many ways in which we can do that spiritual house cleaning so we can be more on fire with our faith, more ready to go forth and let that light of Christ, that goodness of Christ shine. Because a lot of people are caught in sin. After a while, if we keep repeating sins, we become immune to thinking about them as sins. It's just part of our lives. But we have to kind of shake ourselves free of that, recognize our sins, and go forth and help free other people, too, from whatever sinfulness and evil is in their lives. So just as God reconciles us to himself, you and I are called to go forth and reconcile other people to the Lord and to one another. So again, in order to do that, we've got to be aware of our own faults, our own sins, repent of them, and work on the virtues that will make us stronger to say no to sin and Satan, and yes to the way of the Lord, the cross in particular, that we're called to carry. So as you go forth each and every day of Lent, you know, just take a moment to ask yourselves, how did the day go? What did I do today to show my gratitude to God for all that he has done? What sinfulness or tendency has God helped me to unearth that I want to heal and reconcile? How can I go forth and reconcile other people to the Lord using the love and mercy of God that God has given to me? So as always, we have a lot of work to do, not only for ourselves, but for our world. So the more that we can straighten out our relationship with the Lord, and that goes on every day, the better we are to go forth as evangelists, as missionaries, to bring that same healing power of God that God has given to us.